I want to talk today about how to, it's really kind of a Christian living message, how to live your life and access the power of God from a place called rest. In this day and age where everybody's kind of strung out, you don't have to be. There's no such thing as a strung out Christian.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. The world can be strung out. You can't be strung out. And it's really one of the secrets to the power of God. And so every one of us believes in the power of God. We all know God has the power. How do we touch the power? How do we get the power to touch us when needed? How do we go through life different than the strung out people? Raise your hand if you know a strung out person. Y'all don't know any strung out people? Okay, everybody's got their... Maybe you don't realize you're strung out. Hey, I've been, like David said, I've been old and I've been young and I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Hey, I've been stressed out and I've been at peace and I've been at rest and I know the difference.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, Hebrews chapter 3 talks about when the children of Israel were supposed to go into the promised land but couldn't because they didn't trust God. So this the first step I want to take you through is that you're going to have to find a way to get at rest with the Lord and be able to trust God throughout life. You're going to have to get to a place where you're at peace and you live your life every day in rest and in peace. That means you sleep fully at night. Jonah just did a recent message on how important it is to sleep and how to do it by faith and how it's a spiritual thing. You're going to have to get to a place where every day you're at peace, every day you're at rest, where you don't wake up frantic, you don't go to bed frantic, you're just a Christian. And you're constant. First step is, got to rest and trust God. If your dreams are going to come to pass, you're going to have to learn how to trust God. Don't get anxious about your dreams. Don't look at the clock when it comes to your dreams. Don't hear the clock ticking every moment. Sometimes that's the most pressured feeling you can have is when time's running out on you for something. Okay? Whether it's business or personal relationships or dreams or goals or whatever, you can't let that happen to you. All right? We have to live at rest. Let me just read this passage to you because this is where we kind of have to put ourselves. These things are written for our example. We don't want to be like the children of Israel except for the two. So let's read here. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. What was the rebellion? Just the refusal to obey God. The refusal to believe God. Believing and obeying go hand in hand. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me. Have you ever thought of yourself, if you're a doubter, if you're in fear, that you're testing God? We don't want to heap condemnation on people, but it's severe. To God, it was, they're testing me here. They're refusing to believe me. Can you imagine? God is speaking and we're refusing. Well, I'm not refusing. We are when we doubt. We are when we live in anxiety. And that's why, you know, when Jesus says, do not worry, like if you don't obey the command of do not worry, what is it called? Sin, right? Like not obeying Jesus is called a sin. So when He says, do not worry, and then you worry, it's a
sin.
I just want you to feel the severity so that you can, you know, pull up your pants. I'm sorry. Pull up your bootstraps. Do something. Tighten up. Your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Because they couldn't believe God, He couldn't give them the promise. Because we can't believe and we're too scared sometimes and too worried and too unsure, He can't give us the promise. That's no fun for God. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they've not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they should not enter my rest. Notice this term, enter His rest. Mm-hmm. It's important for us because we can only enter His rest by faith. We can only enter His rest by believing.
Yes.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Did you know unbelief is evil? You ever thought of it as evil? You know, we think evil is, you know, vampires and zombies and stuff like that. Well, it is. That's come straight from the pit of hell. Oh, I saw a few heads go up. That comes straight from the pit of hell. Just think about how twisted that stuff is. That's not of God. That's unholy stuff. But did you know that unbelief is just as evil? He said an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now I know that if you receive Christ, you're not departing every time you have a little struggle. So we're not putting quite that intensity upon your doubting. I'll show you how to get over that in a minute. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That's why we come to church a lot. That's why we preach a lot. That's why Christians talk to each other a lot and remind each other of the promises so that we don't get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. What's the deceitfulness of sin? It's the fact that, hey, a little bit of sin won't hurt you.
Come on.
Hey, a little bit of doubt won't hurt you. A little bit of fear won't hurt you. A little bit of sin won't hurt you. A little bit of dabbling here and there won't hurt you. That's the deceitfulness of sin. Well, it didn't do anything to me. Look, I did it. It didn't do anything to me. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Look, you partake of Christ and all the glory if you stick it out.
Amen.
Stick what out? Keep believing firmly. Amen. Hold fast the confidence that you had in the beginning all the way to the end. While it said today, if you will hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but those who did not obey? That word is the word for believe as well. So those that didn't believe and obey. So that we see that they could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. That's where we challenge ourselves. We can't get promises of God if we have unbelief.
Amen.
Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear or respect or be diligent lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Short of what? Come short of really believing. Now, in this context, He's partly talking about heaven. He's talking about the end goal. So we have to hold fast our confidence till the end. I would say you need to believe in Jesus all the way to the end.
Amen.
Don't get discouraged about Jesus. Trust Him all the way to the end.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Make sure when you come to church that you mix your faith with it. Listen, make sure you come to church and that you're able to say amen to the truth that's being preached.
Amen.
Don't just come and just, you know, zone out. Try not to take a nap in church. I mean, they make energy drinks and coffee. Just chug them before you get in here. But even if you are listening, don't just zone out. Don't just say, well, I already know that. I already heard that one. Yep. It's already marked in my Bible. He already said that last year. Yep, got it marked right here. Got the notes. He said the same notes that he said last year. Why'd you do that? Because they're good. That's why. And you need to hear them. And the new folks hadn't heard them yet.
That's right.
Well, I change church about every 3 or 4 years because the pastor doesn't have any new material. Don't you have a clue how this thing works? Did you know that Jesus went about saying the same stuff everywhere? This isn't about you collecting some new knowledge every single week. Because you're only doing about 2% of the knowledge you have. You need to be reminded. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Come on, don't you know how the gospel works? Don't get tired of the same preacher. I come up with a new thing every once in a while. I have a hard time because I'd like to preach something new, but I know that so many people doesn't have all the other 90% we've already done, so I got to go back through that and make sure you get all that.
Amen.
That's the funnest part anyway.
Yes.
It's not the new little thing. I get a little something. Everybody trying to come up with something fancy. Some new take on something just to be a little ear tickler. I don't go for it. That doesn't excite me. This holy stuff that excited me in the beginning, I know what it does to people. It vibrates the insides of us, and that's what I want. Now, God doesn't have a problem saying something from a new perspective or giving some new insight. I get that. But I'm not chasing after that. I'm happy with the same stuff. I mean, it's like, God, could you just give us another Bible, just a new Bible? I'll get you a new Bible. There's one in the bookstore. How about that? All right. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. What's the key to getting rest in your life? You've got to believe. Your heart will be at rest to the degree that you trust God. Amen. If you're anxious and fretting and in a place of being strung out, you're not trusting God yet. Amen. You're just not. Because once you trust Him, once you believe God, concerning life in general or concerning any specific place, any specific thing coming, any specific circumstance, once you're trusting God, you can take a deep breath and the knot in your stomach goes away. Amen. Hallelujah. I even had to practice this. In my early Christian walk, I was so excited about God. I was learning and growing and just thrilled. But I wanted to please God so much that after about 2 years, I realized, you know what? I'm a little anxious about just pleasing God and getting this whole thing right. And I had to relax. It's part of being able to trust God. I was so intense on walking the Christian walk and doing everything right, learning everything perfectly, making sure I didn't miss the will of God for my life, that I realized after 2 years, here's what helped me realize it. I went to the dentist. I forgot all about this. I went to the dentist just for a cleaning or whatever. And they said something about my mouth. And I can't remember the detail exactly, but it was the fact that, and I realized, she said, do you clench your teeth? And she nailed it. I was a teeth clencher. Just a nervous clenching of the teeth. Not a grinder. I'm getting all dentistry on you, but just a clencher. And I realized, you know what? Why would I be doing that? Why would I be kind of just a nervous habit? It's just a nervous habit. People have them all the time, right? Whether it's biting fingernails or whatever. Why the nervous habit? And I thought, you know what? There's no reason for me to go around nervous all day long. And so I told the dentist that day, she said, you're going to have to get a mouth guard to sleep in. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Now, if you have to do that, that's fine. But I just thought, you know what? I'm 30 years old. I don't have to do that. And she said, no, you'll never be able to, nobody can ever stop clenching. If that's your nervous habit, you'll always do it. I'm like, that's not true. I'll stop it. And I'm thinking, I can do anything by faith. And so it took me 7 days, and I used my faith and commanded myself to stop clenching and caught myself a couple times, woke up in the middle of the night and caught myself a couple times and declared it and commanded it, and within 2 weeks, I think total, no more clenching. Hallelujah. What did that mean for me? That meant I can relax. So there's little slight, little subtle things you're going to have to catch to make sure that you're in faith about things. What was my thing not being in faith? I don't even know what it was. Just kind of the dread of maybe missing something. The dread of messing something up with God. Not like scared that I'm sinning, but just, oh God, I don't want to blow anything. I don't want to miss your will. I don't want to miss the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to be led by God so much that it got a little pressured on me. We who believe enter that rest. So I swore in my wrath they wouldn't enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, as God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience or unbelief, same word, again he designates a certain day, saying, today, after a long time it's been said, today if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then they wouldn't have afterwards spoken of another day. So even though they got rest in the promised land, there's another day, which is the day of Christ. Therefore remains a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Stop there. What I want to tell you is, first, you're going to have to live a life of rest. You'll have to find a way to use your faith to be in a place of rest. How do you do that? Well, you got to trust God. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Read a couple scriptures. Just so that you get in a place of static faith or complete lifestyle of trusting God, so that you're at perpetual rest. You see, the children of Israel had to work 6 days and then rest on the seventh. When Christ came, He gave us our Sabbath rest because of the spiritual peace we now have with God. So now we can be at perpetual rest every day. Now, physically, it's wise to schedule rest in your week. Whether it's one full day, whether it's a bunch of nights, whether it's, you have to find a way to rest. You're not in sin if you did something on the seventh day like they were in the Old Testament, but you do have to use your faith to rest. That's what Joni preached the other day. But you're going to have to go to sleep by faith and sleep a good full night by faith. Matthew chapter 11, if we don't find a place of rest, we're kind of almost doing the cross of Jesus a disservice. Why? Because here's what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you a bunch of things to do. No, rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm meek, I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Amen. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What this means, you become a Christian and you're not going to get pressure. When you become a Christian, you're not getting more pressure. You're getting something easy. Amen. It doesn't say my yoke is oozy. I used to think that the yoke meant, I heard it, I never read it. I used to think it meant egg. It doesn't mean egg. It means harness. It means the attachment to Jesus is easy. It means Him leading you through life, you walking with Him is easy. Now, it is a yoke. You are attached, but it's easy. I say that in life, if you're attached to somebody, primarily husband and wife, make it easy on your spouse. I don't know where I came up with that. I just threw that one in. Go to Exodus 14. Exodus 14. I want to present the other steps here in getting the rest of God. Number one, you got to trust Him just in general. You live your life in a place of rest. But then there's times that you have to labor to enter the rest. Like he said, you have to labor before you get to rest. And I find sometimes that Christians skip that step and they go straight to the passive stuff. Well, I'm just not going to worry about anything. Well, that's good as long as you've labored first. Labor in faith, labor to believe, then you can enter the rest. Then part of what you'll have to do is follow the Holy Spirit. Because it's not about just kicking back, doing nothing, becoming lazy. It's about following the Spirit, knowing how to apply your faith, knowing what to trust, knowing when to trust, knowing what action to take after you've trusted God. So there's more to it than just, I'm just resting, and you become a sluggard. I mean, part of our passive trust is we just get scriptures in this like, you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? What is that supposed to do? It's supposed to help you relax. You with me? Amen. Rather than worry about what's coming, just relax. If God's for you, who can be against you? Well, they're all against me. Yeah, but if God's for you, He'll win. Amen. Psalm 37, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. So there's this standing trust we have. He's going to fight for me. God's my God. I don't have to worry. He's my Heavenly Father. Don't have to worry about my money. Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I've set the Lord always before me. Because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Glory. Now, it sounds good in church, and it sounds good on a Hallmark card. But have you labored to get that truth in you? My flesh also will rest in hope. That means your blood pressure can be low. Glory. or your heart rate, or whatever happens. Don't be anxious. Catch it. Catch it. Like I did. Catch it and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why in the world? I just caught that thing. I'm going to end that thing. Exodus 14, this is when they showed up at the Red Sea, and it looked threatening. You know, we have threatening things in our life. What are you going to do with it? Well, if you're at rest, you don't have to panic. If you're at rest, if you're a faith person, then you can be at rest through life. And then when a challenge arises, what do? Deal with it. Amen. No big deal. Jesus was asleep on a pillow, in a boat, in a storm. In a storm, Jesus was able to sleep. And his disciples were what? They weren't sleeping. The closest ones to Jesus weren't sleeping. They were scared, fretting. They woke him up. We're perishing. Aren't you going to do something? Have you ever been around somebody that's just real solid and real calm and full of faith and they're not freaking out like you? You want to be that solid person, don't you? We all need to be that solid person. You need to be the person that can sleep in the storm. And then what did Jesus do? He didn't get up and say, oh, everything's going to be okay. He didn't do that. No, he dealt with it. There's a time to labor. But you do it from a place of rest. There's a time to address issues. You don't ignore issues. Jesus didn't wake up and see the storm and say, there's no storm. I'm just going to walk by faith. There's no storm. No, there's issues that arise. You have to deal with it by faith. You have to speak. What did he say? Peace be still. He commanded something. Sometimes a command is all it takes. Sometimes a scripture quoting is all it takes. Sometimes an action, a step of faith is all it takes. Sometimes it's just a prayer. Sometimes it's the name of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is the only one that knows the exact answer for you. So you do have to follow the Lord in exercising your faith, even from a place of rest. Yes. What I'm trying to say is you don't have to get into a place of panic. Oh my gosh, let's pray. That person is not in a place of rest. But to not be frantic, you have to have labored already. Jesus spent time in prayer knowing the will of God so he could live his life in a place of peace and rest and quiet resolve rather than frantic emergency fire putting out. You with me? You have to labor to get into that. We don't want people to just passively, an emergency arises and nothing, I'm going to be okay, God's going to take care of me. Sometimes you need to address issues. Sometimes that's a good way to talk after you've already connected to God. But we're not talking about just denying troubles. Hurricane's here and the floods are right. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Now deal with your property. It's like the joke that I usually don't tell this to everybody, just preachers and stuff, but you can probably understand it. So don't let me step on your doctrinal toes or insult anybody here. Just give you a little funny thing. This is not what to do. This is not reality. I disagree with this completely, but it's funny. There were three guys that died. One was a Catholic, one was a Baptist, and one was a faith guy. And they ended up in hell, all of them. Ended up in hell. Obviously, they didn't have Jesus in their heart. You got it? Okay. But they associated with those groups. And so they looked at each other and said, why are we here? Why are you here? They looked at the Catholic and said, why are you here? He said, I don't know. I got sprinkled as a baby. They looked at the Baptist and said, how come you're here? He said, I don't know. I went down, shook the preacher's hand, joined the church. They said that's all you had to do. They looked at the faith guy and they said, how come you're here? He said, I'm not here. That is not how we practice faith. Denying reality is not what faith does. We're to call things that be not as though they were. We are not to call things that are as though they're not. Exodus 14, the children of Israel at the Red Sea looks threatening. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Well, verse 10, I guess I should have set it up. They were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then verse 13, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Standing still is a part of it. "Which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." That means you'll hush up. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" Wait a second. I thought we were just supposed to stand here. He said, "Stand still." Yeah, and then listen for the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. Listen how you're going to exercise your faith. What do you mean? That means you're going to have to walk into the water. Go forward, there's water. Hey, faith has to do stuff that doesn't seem right. Faith has to go forward. If you trust God, you have to obey the Spirit when He says to go do the faith thing. If He says to stand up, you better stand up. So what you're doing is you're looking for what to do next. "But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it." So now God tells Moses to stretch forth his rod. So He didn't just say, "Moses, just sit there and I'll do something for you." Matter of fact, what God said was, "What's in your hand?" Well, a rod. Stretch it forward. He's looking at us saying, "Wait a second, wait a second. You're all crying and praying all this frantic stuff. Wait a second, wait a second. What do you already have?" What do you mean? "Well, got the Word of God." It's a good start. Well, got the Word of God. I got the authority of the name of Jesus right here. God says, "Why don't you say it? Why don't you use it?" At some point, you're going to have to use your authority. So part of being at rest is that we're thanking God on a daily basis. "Glory to God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise the Lord, by His stripes I'm healed. Thank God, He meets all of my needs according to His riches in glory." Then an emergency comes. Let's say a financial emergency. "Glory to God, He still meets all of my needs. I'm so excited about it. Praise the Lord, He meets all of my needs. Praise the Lord, He meets all of..." But it's an emergency. At some point, you may need to turn to the problem. "I command the sales to come in." That's using authority. "I command the heavens to open. I command the rain to come. I command the sales to come in. I command the body to be healed." It's one thing to just kind of passively, "By stripes I'm healed, by stripes I'm healed. I'm not worried, 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 I'm not worried." But at some point, the thing that's harming your body has to be addressed. With a finger. The finger of God in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come out! Using authority. It may help you to get that animated. Where you know that you're about to kill something evil. And until you do it, you're just crying at the Red Sea to God, waiting on God, waiting on God. God, 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 when's God, when's God, when's God? Well, one day God's gonna, one day God's gonna, one day God's gonna. God says, "What you got already, use it." Amen. He's waiting for us to use our authority. Amen. That's part of laboring to rest. Then once you've commanded the evil spirit of infirmity out of your body, or the pain or the injury or whatever you've got, command it out of your body. Now you can rest. Now you can rest once again. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. There's some labor necessary before we get into a place of rest. Everybody seeing that pretty clearly? Like, how are you going to deal with all your fears? How are you going to kick over every rock in your life to see where you are in fear? Well, you're going to have to labor. So why don't you get Joni's book, finally, and eliminate the fear factor? This book is designed to help you kick over the rocks, but some people haven't labored in that arena to get rid of fears. Well, I'm not scared. Are you sure? Well, I'm not anxious. Wait a second. Are you sure? Get the book and labor some. Well, I don't like to read. I know it's hard. You'd rather just scroll through 3-minute videos. Labor, get some faith in you so that you can fight. Amen. Or rest. You fight to get rid of your fear and you can chill out a little bit. Amen. Good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People have financial, well, maybe they don't even have any financial problems. But how are you going to trust God in the big moments? How are you going to trust God to sustain you all the time? But you haven't labored to enter the rest. Get my prosperity book, Prosperity 7-Link Chain. It's not a flaky book. It's not far-fetched. It's simple Bible principles. But people haven't labored in here to get the faith they need to have sustained money coming in. To know for sure God's involved. We're still trying to do money our old-fashioned way. What's that? The way your parents did it is how you're doing it. The way you were brought up from age 0 to 12 is your formative years, and it's the way people are thinking about money, and it's not right. But if you're going to get into a place of rest where you're not worried about money, you're not worried from paycheck to paycheck, you're going to have to labor to enter the rest.
Amen.
He's just promoting his books. No, I got a Kenneth Hagin book here too. Biblical Keys to Financial Prosperity.
Yes.
People have marriage things and they want to have a peaceful marriage. You haven't labored to enter that rest.
Wow.
We got a whole 9 hours of teaching that Joni and I did years ago. We haven't done it again because it was so good. We got it right here.
Amen. Amen.
Marriage God's way.
Amen.
But people haven't put in the time to get that.
Yeah.
And so they have marriage issues, and then we have to give them this every time they have marriage. Why don't you do it ahead of time? Why don't you labor to enter the rest ahead of time before the bomb blows? How about healing? We got a book. God's guaranteed to heal you. Should have already been through this book. You should have already whipped some headaches and fevers. It's an excellent book. How about joy? Well, I sure wish I had some joy. Labor, and you can have some joy. You know, some people these days they're kind of going against the you don't have to do anything. They're saying you don't have to do anything. Oh, no, it's all up to God. God's grace gives you everything. Only after you've labored in faith for it.
Yes.
Only after you've trusted for it. Only after you've believed God can God do it. And sometimes for us to believe God, it takes a little labor.
Yes.
We're not saying that you earn anything from God. You're not going to try to like be good and do all these good works and then God will pay me for it by blessing me. No. But there is an element of faith that requires a little effort. A little scripture quoting is designed to help me believe. I have to labor, learn a few things, believe a few things, confess a few things so that I can then believe it, then God can do it for me.
Amen.
Or actually, then I'll have enough faith when the Holy Spirit says to do something.
Yes.
See how that works together?
Yes.
In no way do we just sit around going, nope, God will do it all. Don't have to do anything. You had to do something to get saved.
Right.
Nope, didn't have to do anything. Yes, you did. You had to confess Christ.
Yeah.
First, you had to hear a message. You had to believe the message of Jesus. Then you had to say it out loud. Then hopefully you went and got dunked to prove it just for sure. It was an act of obedience. I believe Jesus, therefore I do what it said, what he said. All right. Couple more things here and then we'll be done. First Kings chapter 18. Verse 41, this is when it was in a drought and famine for 3 years, and Elijah felt it was time to stop it. After he killed the prophets, after the fire came down and proved whose God was real, and then Ahab went to go eat some dinner, and Elijah said, I hear the sound. Verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. And then he bowed himself down on the ground and put his face between his knees. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's laboring. He's praying. He's putting his faith to action. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. So here he is praying, putting his head down, praying, putting his head down, praying, go up and look, go up and look, go up and look to his servant. What's he doing? He's laboring. And he's expecting something. He's not passively waiting for years and years or months and months or days and days. No, this is the moment. I sense it's the moment. I sense it's the moment. He didn't just sit around saying, I sense it's the moment. No, he had to pray it in. He had to pray earnestly in a moment. It was a finite moment for him. So much so that he prayed once and said, go check it out. See if it's done. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Servant comes running back. Finally, the servant comes back the seventh time and says, ah, I see clouds as the hand of a man. Verse 44, it came to pass the seventh time, he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising up out of the sea. So he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Stop there. Okay, so it rained, praise the Lord. Ended the drought because one man stood in one moment and caused something. He labored in one moment and caused a miracle. Glory. Chapter 19, verse 9. Then he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord of God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Here he's done all these miracles, called fire from heaven, caused it to rain. Now he's scared. Did you know that even faith people can have a chance to get scared? Sometimes we think, well, if you got one miracle, then you're a faith person and boy, you'll never have any troubles. No, even faith people have troubles. What are you supposed to do? You got to labor and do the thing again. Go through the steps again. Go through believing God again. Verse 11, then God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains, broke the rocks in pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. What's he doing? Elijah had to hear the voice of God. It's not going to be in the grand sign from heaven. Don't be looking for signs. Don't be looking for grand things. You need to be in a place of rest so you can hear the still small voice. It's too hard to hear the still small voice if you're not in a place of rest. It's too hard to hear. That means you're going to be missing out. You're going to miss the power connection with God. Verse 13, so it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then God finally tells him, verse 18, I've reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. So Elijah got his confidence that he wasn't the only one. How did he get that? From the still small voice. You got it? Sometimes what you need is to get quiet enough to hear God. And then he'll speak a sentence to you and you'll have faith again. Hallelujah. Let me warn you against sin and disobedience and doubts left unresolved. What they will do is they will disturb your quietness. They will disturb your conscience. They will disturb your soul. And it'll hinder you from hearing from God. People say, well, what does sin do? You know, that's what sin does. Sin will disturb your innards. It'll disturb your inner man. It'll disturb your conscience, your spirit. And it'll be more difficult to walk with Jesus. Psalm 38, verse 3 says, there's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. So I'm really talking to those outside the church here. Sinners would certainly be anxious perpetually because they're not right with God. Don't let it slip into the Christian. Proverbs 29, verse 9 says, if a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether he rages or laughs, there's no rest. And that's why the sins of the foolish people out there frustrate us So disconnect from it. Isaiah 57, verse 2 says, He'll enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Uprightness will cause you to have rest. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. When it cannot rest. Remember in Matthew 12 and in other places it says, when the evil spirit's cast out, what does he do? He walks about seeking rest and finds none and comes back to the same house. Why? So he can have some rest. Don't let the devil have any rest in you. If you're going to stay at rest, you can't let the devil be at rest in you. That means you need to stay on your toes. Stay convicted. Stay sharp. Not condemned. Don't stay condemned. Absolutely not. But stay sharp that I am not letting the devil have rest in me. The devil will get no pleasure or peace or rest in my life. If he's getting rest, you can be assured you're not. Hallelujah. People want comfort in life, but how can you without the Comforter? How can you have true comfort without the Holy Spirit? So do things that the Holy Spirit likes. Don't quench Him. Don't grieve Him. That's how all this puts together. I just need some peace in my life. Look, these are part of the steps here. Somewhere you're missing. Out of today, somewhere you've missed it. I'm not putting condemnation on you. But you need a little reminder of where you need to go fix some things. No, but I just want somebody to pray for me to have some rest. I'll pray for you today and you can have some rest today, but tomorrow you're going to have to labor. Everybody else has labored to get their rest. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, one final place. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's go marching. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we'll end with this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, A great multitude's coming against you from beyond the sea from Syria, and they're in Hazeron Tamar, which is in that place, verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Okay, here's an emergency. What did he do? He went to the Lord. That's good. He could have done it without fear, but hey, if you're in fear, go to the Lord. If you're in fear, go to the Word of God and get some words, get some scripture. And he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So here, this is how they had to find the voice of God. We don't have to do it this way necessarily. We don't have to declare a solemn fast in order for the prophet to finally show up. No. But fasting would help us sometimes get quiet. Fasting will help your flesh get quiet. Fasting will help your spirit man hear better. What are you trying to hear? That still small voice, which is going to comfort me, strengthen me, give me confidence in a time, give me direction in a moment. So that's what they did. And then he prayed, Lord God, verse 6, Lord God of our fathers, you're not God in heaven. You are not God in heaven, and you do not rule over the kingdoms of the nations. What? Are you not? It was a question. Are you not God in heaven? I'm like, Jehoshaphat, what's wrong with you? It was me. Are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there no power and might that no one's able to withstand you? So he goes and prays, pours his heart out. Verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of all these guys. Verse 15, and he said, Listen, all you of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's.
Amen.
Now you and I, we don't have to wait for a prophet to stand up and say that, even though a prophecy in church would help us and can be used sometimes. Back then, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. All the people didn't, so they had to wait for the prophet to say something to them. Today, we don't have to wait for the prophet to say something or direct us or anything. We can hear from God ourselves. But the bottom line is you got to hear from God.
Yeah.
Glory.
And what did he say? The battle is not yours, but God's. That means, what does that mean? That means chill out. Relax. We got somebody who under pressure is real good. We got somebody who in the crunch time, in the final drive, he always wins. So just chill out. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. They'll surely come by the ascent of Ziz, and you'll find them at the end of the brook where the wilderness of Jeruel. You'll not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay, you and I need to understand this, that when emergencies happen, I don't want us to think, I'm going to enter a fight. This is going to be, I'm battling against the devil here. That's not how we really want people to think. Your fighting should already be done. You're fighting to get into a place of faith. You're fighting to trust God. You're fighting to get yourself to a place to trust God. Then the Holy Spirit will give us the instruction or the final scripture or the final moment. And we will then use our authority or do whatever He says to do or exercise our faith one last time and it's done. But I never see myself as struggling with Satan. You with me? Jesus showed us how to deal with Satan. What did He do? Get out of here. Satan comes. I quote a scripture back. He says something. I say something. He says something. I say something. I'm going to say the last word.
That's right.
And that's it. And then he's going to have to flee. He'll flee from me. So I don't see myself as struggling against the devil like that. There could be problems that come. It could be the devil, but I don't see myself as, oh, I'm about to really enter this big fight now. No, I'm going to back up and go get to God so that the Lord can tell me personally, the battle is not yours, but mine. I'll take care of you. Do this. Say that. Stand firm. Verse 17, you'll not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. Then verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you'll prosper. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. That was a good short song. Verse 22, now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. How did it happen? Well, you have to look at the process here. It happened not because they were singing. It happened because they heard from God and relaxed. It happened because they weren't afraid. It happened because they weren't dismayed. It happened because they obeyed when God said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Trust me. Relax. And then go out tomorrow. And then Jehoshaphat said, let's sing. What does that do? That gets your mind off of things. Singing can absolutely help you. It absolutely helps us. For one, it gets your mind off of stuff. Settles yourself. Comforts you. Get you focused. Get you off the problem, etc., etc., etc. Power can come in those moments. Hallelujah. So you got your steps? The final step would be rejoice. Stay in rest. Labor to enter rest if you need to. Follow the Holy Spirit when He instructs you. And then rejoice once you've executed. Rejoice, sing, praise God. Close your book, praise the Lord. Rejoice is part of this process. Rejoice is the proof. Rejoice from your heart is the proof that you're in faith. I'm happy. Glory to God. I heard from Him. I did it. It's over. We can rejoice. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.